Every year, I try to come up with a theme that we can try to focus maybe our teaching in our classes, our focus with our young people, our focus with our brothers and sisters as we get older and happen to deal with life, of what could be a theme for us as a congregation. That's where I'm going to need your help. Okay, there's different. I was taught when I went and finished my ministry degree in Minnesota that you can prepare a speech just to speak. And oh, how many speeches we've heard just to hear people talk. Or you can center your speech towards the needs of the people. And you focus on those. But at least there's two different types of preaching. There's ones who are already believing that want to grow spiritually. Then there's ones who yet not believe, but they came because they're sick and tired of life. And they want something new, but don't know how to receive it. Don't know how to get it. Where do I need your help? In order to present lessons, because sometimes when a preacher gets up and says, I'm going to tell how much God loves them, it's not that you guys don't need to be reminded of that, and I truly believe of that. Okay? But you're believers. I also want people in this room that I can speak to that never have ever heard how much God loves them. You know, you hear old phrases like preaching to the choir. Well, I don't know. With our battle with Satan, I think we need to be reminded of how much God loves us. And hopefully you're going to hear the reason why, that even though you yet believe I fall into the factor of the man that talked to Jesus, and Jesus asked him if he would believe, and he said, oh, yes, I believe. But help me with my unbelief. See, really what I was saying is that there's to a certain point, I do believe, but then there's a certain point that I'm really struggling with believing. And we want to get to know God. Last year's theme was, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so that I could see you. And actually, it flows right into this year's theme, because I need to have an open heart in order to actually pursue God. But before we go into lessons pertaining how do I pursue God, how do I get to know Him better, I think we need to start with how much He pursues you. When I was in Minnesota preaching up there for the church, and as you know, some people make fun of me because I've always loved the color purple. When you wear purple, I notice. Okay? We picked purple as Megan's color. Kaylin's like, how do you know? She probably liked pink. And I said, not in daddy's choice. If mommy gets to choose the name, I get to choose the color. Okay? So she got purple. That's why she wore purple. She had a purple wheelchair. But I remember one year they were saying, hey, we got a heritage here in the Minnesota Vikings, the pro football team. And back years ago, they were known for their defense, and their defensive front was called the Purple People Eaters. Okay? And so they had this phrase. Well, that kind of phrase left after they retired. And they were looking for something. What do we get? What can we name our new front four, because they were increasingly getting better at the time. And I remember sending in the phrase, relentless pursuit. What I saw in these guys was a relentless pursuit for the quarterback. And in some ways, so glad that I wasn't on the opposite team, because the position I liked to play was quarterback, and I didn't want to meet them. I didn't want to face up to somebody that has a relentless pursuit. Satan will shake when you relentlessly pursue God. And so if you go to the definition, just go back to the relentless word. It's, I found other words, it's oppressively constant. That's what relentless is. So my question is how oppressively constant are you pursuing God? Because this morning's going to be a reminder, and maybe a series of lessons here soon is going to be a reminder that God oppressively is constant in his pursuit for hearts who would believe and follow. I believe as we get to know who God is for us, we'll get to know who he is for others. And we just might start inviting some more people, and they might start coming to sit down in this room with us and find out how much God loves them. But it has to stay constant. I've told this story before, so this is for the new ones that's never heard it before. There's a guy named Rick Machinsky. He was a janitor for the St. Paul Public Works, where they had the transit buses that drove around picking up people, just like what we have at the Greenway. But he worked at the shop, and he was a janitor there and did mopping and cleaning and emptied the trash and all that for the workers and stuff. And we had at Woodbury a guy named Bob Santerre. Bob Santerre became a believer, and when he became a believer, he became a believer. So he had to find out who's the first person God's going to have him relentlessly pursue. And so he started looking around. I don't want to go too far. I'm not going to go out and street preach. I'm not going to go out and wave my Bible and so hopefully 100 people will come next week. Who do I need to start with? And he said when he walked in the building, Rick Machinsky was the first person who greeted him in the building that morning of work. He started inviting Rick. He goes, I just want you to come. I just want you to come and hear about a God that has amazed me. I want you to come with me. And again, it's not about going to church. It's about the church being the church, going to people. Really is what it's about. But you're inviting them to a place that they can hear a message that they could find out how much God loves them in. And so he invited, Rick turned him down. Now, this is what I love about Bob. Bob was constant, oppressively constant in his invitation. Those who know the story, do you remember how long it took before Rick actually joined him and came to the Woodbury church family at a gathering? Anybody remember? 8 years. And Bob never gave up. Hey, just want to let you know you're invited this Sunday. And man, he was overly, oppressively constant in reminding Rick You're just welcome. I think Bob practically hit the floor in amazement when Rick said, 8 years later, I'm coming. What time do I need to be there? Give me an address. Rick came. He heard a message of how much God loved him, couldn't believe it. Rick wasn't somebody you'd pick for American Idol. He probably thought he more fit America's Most Wanted. And so he came. He got a taste of God's love. And boy, did it taste sweet. And he kept coming. And he kept coming. And he kept coming. And then he responded to the love, saying, "All right, God, you love me that much? I'm making a decision. I'm going to start loving you in return." He was baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, and he rose to a new life to walk. And I don't think I ever remembered a day that that man did not stand at the building and open the door and welcome people as they came. It's an amazing thing. He was relentless. And I want to start our new year out with reminding you how relentless God is in his pursuit towards you. He's not looking for the impression. You know, you look at Jesus. Jesus, when he came down to say, you know, I really come down with this message to save the world. So I got to pick some guys to go and train, equip, and all that. You know, you would have thought he had went into the palaces in Jerusalem. You would have thought he had went into the most educated areas that Gamaliel, oh boy, look at Paul, you know. Oh, Paul don't need to change anything. I just need him to be able to bark out everything Gamaliel said. And all the Pharisees that knew all the scriptures and could quote all the scriptures and all that, and Jesus said, I need to find some men that I will show what the word looks like in the flesh. And they will follow my word by making it flesh. And so when I teach them, I will model for them. And then I'll just tell them, just go and do likewise. So it wasn't about the most academic. It wasn't most about the most impressive people. He picked tax collectors, which nobody liked. He picked fishermen that stunk like fish to say, come and follow what kind of life I'm going to model for you. And he was in pursuit of their heart. And he needed their hearts to change and be open to what it means to follow him. The pursuit part, next word. So we got oppressively constant. Just ask yourself, how oppressively constant are you pursuing God? Because that's what he is for you. Pursuit means an action of following or pursuing. Sounds kind of easy. You know, I always like looking up in the dictionary sometimes where it'll say pursuit, pursuing something. Following. I am actually following in pursuit of how Jesus lived would be my footsteps too. There's a guy in the seminary or in the school that I went to said, I can teach you what the word says. But until you do what the word says, you really don't get the knowing. like, wow. So for 2022, here's our theme. Relentless, oppressively constant in our following of God. Because relentless pursuit is a two-way street. It's from God and it's for God. We want to make our Father happy. And we're going to constantly follow what He's asked us to do. And we really got to come up with and be honest with ourselves when we open the Word. What's He asked us to follow? Just a bunch of rules? Can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. Or to live life abundantly by seeking the righteousness that Jesus modeled while He was human. And guess what? You got an insurance. Where your pursuit hasn't perfected you, and you breathe your last day, and you haven't really got to that point, guess who walks in? His first name is Grace, and his last name is Mercy. He just wants to know, are you in pursuit? A constant pursuit. When you hear people say, you know, read your Bibles, well, that's good. But I need to read the Bible as I listen to it, is understand that God's pursuing something in me. Every word is for me. And when I pray, it's my pursuit to Him. And when I live, it's my pursuit to Him. It just depends on who am I making my top priority, myself or Him. And so, relentless pursuit. So I'm going to share with you some verses as hopefully an encouragement to you this morning, that what happens in this relentless pursuit. If you go to Ephesians, it's chapter 2, or chapter 1, verses 15. Now, I'm going to add some verses ahead of it. I'm going to start at 15, but I'm going to read down through 23. But this catches you a glimpse. This was actually the verse we used as God opening our hearts, enlightening our hearts. Why? So that we could actually get to know Him. Again, I can't emphasize overemphasize. There's a difference in knowing about God and knowing about Jesus than it is to know God and to know Jesus. You have to have a personal relationship, an intimate relationship to know somebody. And we got too many times in our belief in God is that we have not an intimate relationship. So here's where we go. Start verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance and His holy people. In His incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Oh boy, if we could just grasp a hold of that one. And if you say, I don't know that power, then relentlessly pursue it. constantly follow it. The same power that he raised Jesus from the dead, he wants to give to you so that you can say no to ungodliness and right and say yes to righteousness. He wants to give you that power. He exerted it when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, and far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed to him to be the head over everything. For the what? For you, the called out one, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Wow. Can you imagine? God loves us so much that he pursues us, that he says, I want to use you as a representation of me. Isn't that incredible? Do you deserve it? No. But I tell you one thing, we can be honored. God wants to use you to show other people who he is. That's why we got to constantly pursue. Since we're not God, we're not completely made holy. So we're in the pursuit of holiness. There's a series of sermons that you'll hear. A constant pursuit of holiness. And so these verses are given to us so that we can realize that God is in constant pursuit of us. Look at 1 John 4:19. We love, it kind of starts, you know, it's kind of funny how he starts with number two and goes back to number one. We love because he loved us. And really, if you just want to turn it to, since he loved us, we love others. That's why Jesus would say things like, well, you can't say, first of all, if you really truly love me, you obey my commands. Pursue them. Follow them. You know, Jesus Christ in his life actually portrayed what it looks like to live the law that was presented in the Old Testament. Why he didn't murder anybody? Is because he wanted them forgiven if they would only believe. Wow. He didn't steal from people. He wanted to give to people. He didn't want to tear people down. He wanted to build people up. And the reason why we learn how to love other people is because he first loved us. He's the model. That's why, what's the first and greatest commandment that he said? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Why? Because I loved you first. Did it take all his strength to love us? Absolutely. I would have never left heaven and became human. I wouldn't have died on the tree for me. I wouldn't have come down here after already being in heaven to the point to where I had to deal with ridicule, pain, and suffering, and people who mocked me and disliked me and hated me. And all I was trying to do is get them to follow God, their creator, because if they follow him, they can have life eternal. And that was my message. But he realized where hearts have gone callous. He realized where minds were closed. all because they were following a different God and his name was not Jehovah. And he warned people by following the other God. But he said, I'm going to go all the way to here, though. I'm not going to stop halfway in between. I'm not going to get sick and tired and frustrated. I mean, the first frustration I had with the apostles, I would have just said, okay, give me another 12. These guys are not getting it. They're dull. Guys, go home. You're out of here. You're fired. Give me another 12. And he just said, if you follow me all the way here, and you believe, I'll lead you from here. But you got to follow me all the way to your own cross. You got to deny yourself on a daily, constant basis. And when you take up your own cross and follow me, you'll learn from me. But if we fall short of going to our own cross, we'll never learn who he is. And that's just tough reality. But I tell you, I like that life better than I did the before this one. Because before this one, I was condemned by my own sin. But in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. And so we get reminded of that through passages. Ephesians 2. You know, where do you get this? Does this power come from us? No. Is it getting busier and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that? And God can look down and maybe even walk into our entryway and see all these different lists of ministries and all this stuff and say, how impressive. Is that how we get it? Grace is what saves us. Through faith in it. It doesn't come from you. It's a gift from God. And it's not by works. I got to earn my way to be able to get the grace. No, you've got the grace. You just got to work from it and love him because he has given it to you. He loved you first. See, now it's hard to get your mind around that one because our human mind says, no, wait a minute. That's like receiving my paycheck before I worked. God's opposite in the world. He gives you a reward, and then you get to respond to it. See, in our world, we have to work for our reward. In his world, we work from it. So if I lack works, I got to question myself. Maybe I don't understand how much he loves me. If I lack involvement in the body of loving one another and checking on each other and calling each other and serving one another, and I'm not involved in it, then just ask yourself, look, it's not because God didn't love you. It's just that maybe I'm not pursuing him constantly. Because he says, if you don't love your brothers, then you don't love me. Now, that's a reality check. And the reason why we're saved by his grace through our faith in that grace is so I can't walk around saying, look at how great I am. That God would choose me. Boy, he got a good one. You know? He got a broken down sinner is confused about life, didn't know who was first, really loved serving himself instead of others, enjoyed it so much better. I won every argument with myself I've ever had. I haven't won every argument with other people. But I don't boast about it. Paul said, I only boast in Jesus Christ. Next verse. You don't have to look too far. Jesus is saying, here I am. I'm here. I'm right here in this room. But I'm right at your heart right now, and I'm knocking. And if you just open it up, I'll walk in. I'll eat with you. You'll eat with me. And really, that is have a relationship with me. I'll relate with you, and you relate with me. You pursue me, I'll continue to pursue you. Constantly. So we don't have to go very far. Here he is. And so just let him walk into your heart and open it up. Take up your cross. Be forgiven in baptism and walk a new life. Last verse. We use this at funerals a lot. But look at this. This is God's pursuit to you. His goodness and love will pursue me all the days of my life. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So his pursuit of you is not in question this morning. Our question is, how relentlessly are you pursuing him? But maybe we need to remind ourselves how much he does. Because really, if you don't know how much God loves you, it's going to be very difficult for you to love him back. And he wants this love relationship to go two ways. He wants you to adore him and be honored that you are his child. Father, we come before your throne, thanking you for our time together. We ask you that you move on the hearts that are in this room, and that as Jesus stands at the door and knock, or for the ones that have not opened up their heart to him, to let him in, to get to know him, pursue him. And then when they start following him, they're going to follow him all the way to the cross and learn how to take up their own. But they need forgiveness of their past. And you buried it in the tomb. And you showed it in Jesus that the path of righteousness to the new life, to be representing you to all the world, comes from being buried in the tomb of water and then coming out of that tomb completely forgiven, given grace to, forgiveness fully cleaned, and then we get to respond to it for the rest of our life. As you constantly pursue us, may we constantly pursue you. So use this year of 2022, as long as we live, or you allow, or even if you just send Jesus back, I pray that we will be a body that will realize you love us for sure, but also you still are loving the ones that yet not believe. And those are the people that we want to start inviting, even if it takes 8 years. But some, it may take 8 minutes, 8 hours, 8 months, 8 weeks. We just need to invite them to know how much you pursue them. And oh, will we make Satan shudder in his being of evil, that he will be frightened of God, you, working through us, because we're following Jesus, your Son. We thank you for this time. Light the fire in our hearts, and may we be the followers that are pursuing you constantly. And it's through Jesus we pray and say together, amen.